Okay, we're going to have some career advice tonight. Everyone's always interested sometimes in how to choose the best occupation. How to choose the occupation that will have pay increase in the future, or one in which you won't be laid off, or whatever. How many of you, I'm talking to our guests, have ever thought or considered becoming a transcendentalist or a yogi? Any of our guests? Yes, you thought of becoming a transcendentalist? What attracted you to that career? You were bored? And so you thought that becoming a transcendentalist or a yogi would be exciting? Anyone else ever contemplated becoming a transcendentalist or a yogi? Everyone is very satisfied. I will as we get going. But did you ever think of being one? Well, just take a stab at it.
My wife's a spiritual life, as high as I can go in this lifetime.
Well, that's a career, isn't it? Anyone else? So we've got two who have considered this occupation of being a transcendentalist or a yogi, whatever it is. Anyone else? So everyone else, I take it, is pretty stable in their occupations within the material world. Everyone is very satisfied with their occupations in the material world. No one has any more aspirations. Well, if you're going to be a transcendentalist, there's one important consideration you have to make. This question is considered in Bhagavad Gita. As everyone knows, Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna. It's the basic book of spiritual understanding for those who want to lead a spiritual life. They'll find no better handbook than Bhagavad Gita. So we're going to give a sample of some career advice, career counseling from Bhagavad Gita for those who might consider being a transcendentalist, for those who might consider being a yogi. Now, what does it mean to be a yogi? We'll try to define that first before we get to transcendentalist. Any idea what a yogi is? Yes. A what? I see. Does anyone do better than that? Anyone know what a yogi is? Yes. A teacher? Well, I don't know. You mean if you go to a high school or university, anybody who is teaching is a yogi? Oh, what did you mean then? A spiritual teacher. Okay. Any other? What is a yogi?
In my opinion, a yogi is one who can live the transcendental in the world without being affected by the world.
Okay, we're back to that mysterious word, transcendental. So you win after all, huh? But what would you say if I asked you, what is a yogi? Someone who does exercises and has a slim body?
I remember people do yoga exercises, but I don't know enough about it to answer your question.
Okay. The Sanskrit word yoga means to link or to connect. It doesn't mean to reduce your fat. It means to connect with the ultimate. So that means you have to know what the ultimate is, otherwise how are you going to make a connection? Now everyone in this world is always making connections with something. They're trying to connect with so many things that they think will make them happy. But yoga means to connect with the ultimate reality. Therefore, unless we know what the ultimate reality is, how can we practice yoga or be a yogi? unless you just want to be the fat-reducing kind of yogi. Now, transcendentalists. This nice gentleman has asked, well, what is a transcendentalist? Transcendentalist means one who's going above something to get somewhere. Now, what are you going above? What do you think?
The carnal lifestyle of physical planet life.
The carnal lifestyle of physical planet life. Okay, if that's so, then what do you go to next? What's the higher level?
It must be spiritual.
And what's that?
Well, purity of mind and lifestyle as much as possible.
Purity of mind and lifestyle. Now, does that mean you just eat organic food and you use you wear organic cotton clothes, or you don't have any plastics in your house, everything is recyclable, or what?
Well, it means you do an inner training of your mind and come out of the world, so to speak. And
how do you get out of the world?
You know what I mean. You take the world out of yourself, in a sense.
I'm just trying to
understand.
You
purify your thought thinking.
What,
you become respectable and respectful.
Respectable.
And treat other people respectful.
You get a good job. You wear a suit. Then you're respectable, right?
It's more than that. It's a heart thing.
A heart thing.
And then a spiritual thing.
You give your heart to the right person.
Oh, I like the idea of heart and soul, mate, but ideally, to give ourselves heart to God. That's the idea.
Give our heart to God.
Yeah.
Okay, so it seems like we have to understand what God is in order to give our hearts, right?
Right.
So this thing that's beating, we want to give it to God, right? No, I'm just trying to understand.
No, we learned about God and to love God, and the Bible summed up in love thy God, love with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, then
only your neighbor.
Well, that is everyone, because the whole planet, we're all part of the completeness.
Okay, so how do we love God? What is this God? Then maybe we can figure out what transcendental is.
He's the first one.
He's the first one.
Yes.
But the feminists, they don't like you calling God a he. Why did you
ask them that one? No
way. You go first.
This is your speech.
This is participatory, you know, democratic.
That's good. I like it.
Okay.
Somebody else can answer.
Okay, but at least try to tell us what God is, if you don't want to get into the male-female thing.
He's the creator who created all that is. From him, everyone is.
So then after he created everything and everyone, he was depleted, right?
We're not talking about the atom bomb.
No, but if he created everything and everyone, it would seem to me that he would be less because he gave of himself.
No, because he gives of himself, I had a point. When he extends and gives of himself, well then he's created more and it's not quite telling, but to give is to receive, and so he won when he gave. You know, in giving, you win. You know?
He won the Ranfurly Shield or something?
No. giving up himself, he came to make us.
He cannot be defined.
He cannot be defined. That's the definition of God. He cannot be defined. Have you ever tried to love someone who can't be defined? Huh? Probably what you might want to say is that You can take information about God and try to understand it, but there's always more to understand. Because you'll find that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving you information. He's saying, I'm like this, I'm like that, this is how to experience me. But that's not all there is. Suppose I ask, who are you? And you say, oh, I can't be defined. Would you do that? If I ask, who are you? Would you say, I can't be defined? Huh?
Because I'm limited. I
can't
become myself.
Because what?
I'm limited.
You are limited, so you can define yourself. But if God is unlimited, he can't define himself, huh? Because part of being unlimited is that you can't. Is that it? I'm unlimited, which means there's no barriers, no limitations, but I can't define myself. Does that make sense? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'm unlimited, and I can define myself, and this is the way I am. So what will you say? No, you can't. Shut up. You can't define yourself. What would you say?
Read Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, you have?
No, I've had people talk about read to me that by print.
Oh, you have Bhagavad Gita as it is?
I was going to. Going to, but when I got down to, they had sold it to somebody else.
we don't have those problems here.
Have that killing me, man.
You talk to him, he can arrange.
Well, let's see what happens.
The Bhagavad Gita is just the beginning, you understand, right?
Yeah.
You like to read, don't you? What kind of books do you read?
Self-help books.
Oh. And what's the self that's being helped?
Spiritual self-help books.
Oh, and how do they help? What does that mean, spiritual self, before we ask how they help?
Well, spirit is not physical, and it's about respect. It's sort of about love. And
oh, it always comes down to that.
No. Love is an all-encompassing thing that can't be defined, but
how convenient is it?
It's the best thing in the world.
It's the best thing in the world, but it can't be defined.
Well, our essence is love.
Huh?
Our essence is love.
Our essence is love. Now, how do you get that essence?
You have to purify all of
it. You clean out your intestines or cleanse your colon or what?
No.
What do you do?
You cleanse your life by spiritual learning.
Oh, and what do you learn about?
Love.
And what is love? Give me an example of when you've loved so I can maybe figure out what it is.
It's when I treat somebody with respect and I respect their rights and feelings and assert myself so that I get my rights and feelings respected as well.
Oh, that last part's important. Mm. You have to assert yourself and they have to accept you asserting yourself. Otherwise it can't be love, right? And how do you assert yourself?
It's difficult sometimes, but
I understand. What do you do? You're taking one young lady out and saying, okay, you know, I'd like to assert myself?
No. It's not about disrespecting somebody.
But, you know, that is, isn't that what people say is love?
A lot of people have very unclear idea of what love is, but people often think love is physical connection, but it's more spiritual and mental and emotional connection.
I see. Well, what's the difference between spiritual and mental? Maybe we can be a bit clear about that, and we'll start to understand love and God and all these things and transcendental.
I like it so.
No, you. What is this spiritual stuff?
Spiritual.
Are you spiritual, for example? Am I spiritual?
I'm learning to be spiritual, I believe.
So
spiritual is trying to live love.
Trying to live love. Yeah. I'm just trying to understand what's that
well,
like.
Well, it's about tolerance, acceptance.
So if I walk down the street and I see you and I punch you in the nose and I take all your money, then you'll tolerate because you love, right?
That's a very tricky one.
Or if you're walking down the street with your girlfriend and I take her and put her in my car and drive off, you'll tolerate, right?
Very difficult.
Wait a minute, aren't you being sensitive to my needs? I need your money and your girlfriend, so I just think.
What about the finger?
Aren't you going to love? Where's your love? No. You're supposed to be loving.
The finger is it. We create, if this world is an illusion, as you people are...
Wait a minute.
Well, then you can be director of your own life and have, rather than nightmares, have happy dreams, so to speak. And so you can direct it, your life so much so that...
Okay, wait a minute. I want to have happy dreams with the money you have in your pocket and your girlfriend. And your suit.
But what say my life... What say my directorship is stronger than your...
No, but you're supposed to love. You're supposed to love. And you're supposed to understand that I need these things. And you want to contribute to world peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore I need what you have, so you should give it. Out of love.
Get that you want.
Huh?
You want those things, you don't need them.
Oh, no,
you don't.
No, don't. You can't say that. You're making judgments. You're supposed to be loving. Yes, you can't make judgments. You should just, I'm feeling this need. Yeah, but I can make judgments, but you can't, because you're supposed to be loving. I never said I wanted to be loving, I just want what you have. Huh? Whatever it is, I want what you have, and you should be sensitive and caring.
You would. I can't figure that.
You're going to get the things, though, does it?
What's that?
That doesn't mean you're going to get the things, though, does it?
But if you're loving, you'll do that.
Not necessarily.
Why not? Who are you to say that? You're on a God trip. I'm being perfectly rational. What? I want your car. I want everything you have. I can use it better, and you should know that. Yeah, but you're loving. Yeah, but you don't think like that because you want to be loving. Well, then what is love?
Well, feeling.
Feeling that when you get what you want, and I don't get what I want, huh?
Something that you try to put words onto it, but you wouldn't be able to really.
Ah, here we go again. The undefinable.
Well,
what were you going to...
We create language. We make language.
So therefore, I'm saying, if it's all just words, right? Then what does anything matter? You should just give me what you have. It's all words anyway. When you say it's my car, my girlfriend, my clothes, these are just words. So just hand it all over. Don't worry about the words. Then there'll be peace and happiness throughout the world. World peace. Universal love. The undefinable. What's that? Well, whatever you have, just give it over and then there'll be universal love. Don't worry about defining it. I agree. Don't try to put into words. Just give it. I agree. I'm trying to help you out by taking your possessions. Yeah, just leave it all right here. And what were you going to say? Okay.
What about the thing of love and dignity and winning friends and influencing people and all that sort of thing, speak firmly and speak assertively and so on and so forth.
Walk quietly and carry a big stick, right?
No, not a big stick. Just
a small one.
No. You just say, I'm a person with equal rights, you. Please do not disrespect me.
Okay, you can say that, but I still want what you have. So who decides?
When you love me, if I get you, I say,
yeah, I'm trying to tell him that. He should forget himself. Wait, one at a time. When you love, you forget yourself. He should be loving. He should be forgetting himself and just hand over everything he has to me. I want him to forget himself. I want him to rise above the ego. I'm trying to help him out.
He wouldn't be loving himself if he wasn't giving the basic things that he needs.
He should forget himself. You know, he should forget the ego.
But what time do you want to take 40?
So how do we decide what is what? If we can't answer these questions, how do we know what is spiritual? How can you even talk about what is spiritual if you can't answer any of these questions?
Well, it's sort of like a learning curve.
Where does the curve go to?
Well, it goes to the top.
Right. Maybe we should say we don't know, right?
Okay.
All right. As long as you say you don't know, we can make some progress here. Now, we were giving career advice, if you remember, for those who want to be transcendentalists and yogis. We've defined a yogi as one who's making a connection with the ultimate. That means to actually be a yogi, you have to have knowledge of the ultimate. That knowledge is being given in Bhagavad Gita by the ultimate himself, Krishna. Now, if I say Krishna is the ultimate, what will you say? What will you say?
Oh,
that's very good. Anyone else? What will you say? Will anyone say no? You can't say no, because what does that mean? If I say Krishna is the ultimate and you say no, that means you have an idea. What is the ultimate if it's not Krishna? So all you can say is, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. Therefore, it's your job as a human being to find out for sure. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'm the ultimate, and here's the way you can find it out for sure for yourself. Now, how can we complain about that? Suppose you tell me, this is the highway to Ashburton. And I say, no. You just look at me like, well, you're just a, you know, proud foreigner. Come on, I'm from Christchurch. We know the road to Ashburton. What do you know? So if I just say, no, it's not, that means I'm quite proud and arrogant. But if you say to me, look, this is the road to Ashburton, and if you follow this road, you'll get there and see, then I should just admit that you're being quite reasonable, yes? I should at least follow the road and see if I get to the destination.
Read the street signs.
Yes. So Bhagavad Gita is like that. Krishna is giving you street signs. You want to verify that I'm the ultimate? Here's the map. You can come to me. And then what do you say? No. Actually, what we really mean is, I don't want to. I've got better things to do. So what is it in this world that we have better to do than be a transcendentalist or a yogi? We've got to define what a transcendentalist is. We define what a yogi is. A transcendentalist is one who goes above, transcends. What are you going above? Matter. You're going above time and space. You're going above the limited. And what are you rising to? The ultimate, the unlimited. All these words require knowledge and experience. Therefore, in your career quest, you have to figure out how to get the best knowledge about the ultimate. Just like we've been discussing here the past few days in our morning classes, when you say God is love, that is incomplete knowledge. People don't even know what love is in the ordinary sense. But when you say God is love, you're still being incomplete. Better knowledge is to say God is all attractive, because there can't be love without attraction. But when you say God is all attractive, that means you've got to know specifics about God. What is it that's attractive? The qualities, the activities, so on and so forth. The form, the name. But our problem is, we have no knowledge of the form, name, qualities, and activities of God. Therefore, how can there be love of God? Tell me how you can love the undefinable. How many of you, if you're married, married an undefinable? Or you have a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. How many of you have an undefinable as your partner, as they say these days? Anyone? Oh, you have an undefinable as a partner? And he's your partner? And he's undefinable, huh? He has no form? Wait, one at a time, one at a time. Patience, patience. I'm talking to him.
I was going to say, probably not undefinable, but inconceivable in dimension.
You are inconceivable? Fair enough, but for me, Ashburton is undefinable, inconceivable. I haven't been there. Okay, so fair enough. But Krishna is saying the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. We'll go there. You can come to me. And what do we say? No. Right? I got better things to do. I got my undefinable girlfriend right here. Right? Yeah?
I got a lot of confidence,
so
I
want to be
saying.
So, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is giving you full knowledge of matter, spirit, the ultimate destination. Now, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita explains that he has a right to give you this knowledge because everything is emanating from him. Now, how many teachers do you know who can say everything is emanating from me? Anyone? No. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, I'm the origin of all matter and spirit, of the material worlds and the spiritual worlds. So when you've got that kind of person, you can be sure you're getting correct knowledge. In other words, you've got to ascertain the person's qualifications before you hear from them. Just like if you're going to guide me to Ashburton, I've got to be sure that, you know, you're a resident of Christ Church, you know what's going on in the area of Canterbury. So, you should try to understand Krishna's qualifications, why it is that Krishna is special. So a transcendentalist is one who rises above material conditioning to the platform of enlightenment. What is the platform of enlightenment? Awareness of your relationship with Krishna. You are the part and Krishna is the whole. In other words, we're struggling in this world thinking, I am just on my own. Self-realization means to understand I am part of Krishna, but I've forgotten, I'm hallucinating that I'm an entity unto myself. Actually, you know, we like it when we say that God is undefinable and spiritual perfection is undefinable, because that means we can do whatever we like and call it spiritual. It's convenient, isn't it? Suppose I say to you, well, because you're undefinable, that means I can treat you in any kind of way. How would you like that? You can't talk because you're undefinable.
I'm a figment of your imagination.
You're the whatever, you see. And when, however I treat you, that's spiritual.
I struggle with the concept of unconditional love and assertiveness being a part of the double side of love, giving and receiving.
You've read a lot of those kind of books, haven't you? How much did you spend on all those books?
A hell of a lot.
And you never got a Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, my friend has got me interested in Krishna movement only in the recent this year that's gone by.
Yeah, me too. I just got into it. No, seriously. So, believe it or not, if you would read Bhagavad Gita, all these points would be crystal clear in your mind. Did you ever go to any of those seminars and weekend workshops?
to a seminar of the Attitudinal Healing Center. You heard of Zenmark in America?
Yeah, there's many rip-offs there.
Oh, well, many rip-offs. I don't trust crazy with sparkle, right?
How much did you pay?
I was lucky because everybody
else paid.
Yeah, that's right.
How much did everybody else pay?
I do not know.
But, you know, just take a guess.
I can't even guess because money wasn't discussed. And I didn't take notes that I was more interested in the other things.
Okay. But for a fraction of the money that people waste on all these weekend seminars and vague so-called spiritual books, you can have precise knowledge. That is our service to humanity. We are offering the topmost knowledge coming from Krishna.
The Course in Miracles is pretty good.
We don't criticize, but the real miracle is that you become free from illusion. Yes?
They want proof.
Just like I say. Right. Just like I say, there's no Ashburton. Can you give me proof? Yeah. But if I follow the map, will I get the destination? Okay, so if you follow Bhagavad Gita correctly, you'll get Krishna. In other words, you're busy making connections, but you have to understand what the best thing is to connect to. So, we're going back to the career of a transcendentalist and a yogi. This is a very important question that's going to be asked. Arjuna, he's Krishna's devotee, and he's asking, "Oh Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness, and thus he does not attain perfection in mysticism?" Intriguing question, yes? In other words, what happens to the person who takes up the process of enlightenment, but because they have some weakness, attachment to the temporary world, they give up their pursuit. They fall back into the ways of illusion, and they don't attain perfection in mysticism. What happens to them? This is a very important question, because you might think, yes, this Krishna consciousness sounds wonderful, the atmosphere here is very special. Of all the people who stay here, 50%, look like they're into something, 25% look like they could be into something, and the other 25%, well, they look like they might be into something, and in any case, things look good. But you're thinking, what would happen to me if I gave up all the things that I shouldn't be doing, and I took to the path of yoga, transcendentalism, and then somehow or other I couldn't succeed? That means I've blown it both ways. I've lost out on material happiness, and I've lost out on spiritual happiness. This is a very important career question, which everyone should consider. And because Bhagavad Gita contains all the knowledge that a thinking person should want to know, that question is there. What if I take up this occupation, and then later, I fail? What becomes of me? I rejected the material world. I'm taking up spiritual life. But I couldn't maintain. I couldn't go on. So what happens? So what does Arjuna ask in the next verse? He says, "O mighty arm Krishna, does not such a man who is bewildered from the path of transcendence fall away from both spiritual and material success?" In other words, don't you blow it both ways? You lose out materially, you lose out spiritually. Don't you perish like a ribbon cloud with no position in any sphere? A ribbon cloud is like, you can see that happening in the sky above Christchurch all the time. A small cloud just gets lost in the sky. It can't attach itself to a bigger cloud. It just gets blown away by the wind and it disintegrates. So we might become like that, we're thinking. I'll give up my material pursuits. I'll fail, though, in my spiritual pursuits, and I'm left with no position. So therefore, better stick with what I know, even though it's boring, even though it's unsatisfying. At least I know it for sure. So I'll just keep on squeezing the dry rag of material happiness, trying to get some moisture out of it. Because at least I know it's for sure, whatever it is, but the path of transcendentalism, the career of being a yogi, suppose I fail. It looks better. It makes more sense. The philosophy is fantastic. The food is great. The camaraderie looks wonderful. But suppose I can't handle it. Suppose I've got to go back to my lower activities. What will become of me? That is what Krishna says. But why is there no loss?
Because.
Okay, we will explain. Now listen. Alright. But now I'm talking. You gotta listen. You're here all the time anyway. So, Arjuna says, "This is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely. But for you, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt." So, can you ever put yourself in the position of saying something like that? "This is my doubt, and I ask you to dispel it completely. But for you, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt." Do we ever have a hope of being in that situation where we can say, "But for you, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt"? You may notice that many people don't even want the answers. They think that if you don't have the answers, that's spiritual. And that any time you have the answers, that's dogma. I'll read you some popular solutions to the problem of life. Many of you probably recognize such advice from your attitudinal seminars and multifarious books you've read. So, try this one for size. This probably sounds good to so many of you, if you can shut the door there. Listen to this. "There are no clear and final answers. There are only discussions and thoughts and silent wonder filling each moment." Now that's spiritual, isn't it? Yes, doesn't that sound good? You like that, don't you? "There are no clear and final answers. There are only discussions and thoughts and silent wonder filling each moment." Wow, that's really it. What do you think? Everyone likes that? Once again, "There are no clear and final answers."
Whoopee! No clear and final answers.
That means we can do what we like. "There are only discussions and thoughts and silent wonder filling each moment." Wow. How about another one? "We never have to have the answers." That's the illusion, to think you have to have answers. Wow. Enlightenment just in that sentence. "We never have to have the answers." Yes, I'm free now. I realize I don't have to have the answers. But one more. You'll like this one. "What to do with your life? How do you decide what is what? How do you make judgments? How do you steer your course? Be guided by your own experience. Honor your uniqueness and take time to cultivate your idiosyncrasies." Deep, isn't it? Profound. You like that, huh? Well, where's your partner? Wasn't she here? She knows. What's his idiosyncrasies? Whatever they are, he should just cultivate them and take that time. And he should honor his uniqueness and be guided by his own experience. That's spiritual, huh? You don't have to have the answers. Just feel and do. You all go for that?
Do we need the answers if we're happy with what we're doing? Life is okay as it is. Why? That's what's not broken.
That's right. You're right. There's only two kinds of persons who can be happy in this world. Everyone else in between suffers. Now, you can judge which category you're in, but only two kinds of people can be happy in this world. The first category is the perfected yogis and transcendentalists who perfectly understand they're not the body, they're not the mind, they're spirit in relationship with the Supreme Spirit. They can be happy in this world because they know this world is simply the energy of Krishna. They don't see the world as separate from Krishna. They know who the proprietor and controller is. Therefore, even in the material world, they can live in peace, in perfect love, with the supreme source of everything. So that's one category that can be happy in this world. The other category is the complete fool who thinks, I am this body, and the goal of life is to enjoy my body. I don't need to know nothing about nothing. I don't want to hear anything about anything. I just want to satisfy my senses, just like any cat, dog, or whatever. So those are the two categories that can be happy in this world. Everyone else in between suffers. Can you see that?
Why is the fool foolish?
Because if you have a human body, you have the higher intelligence to inquire, what am I? What is life? Why am I being forced to die and get old? I don't want these things. Why is it pushed on me? What is the ultimate pleasure? Otherwise, as animals, we don't have to worry about that. So we have to appreciate what is special about the human body. The human body has the higher intelligence to have a discussion like we're having now. You don't see any animals here. It's just human beings.
Feeling
it's
like creeping and rising
things, or
something here
going
to
get big,
slightly crowded in.
The seats up front are the most expensive. So if we say nothing is broken, then we have to ask ourselves the question, why is my body breaking down? Now, let's just take you for example. Is your body breaking down? Okay, so it's breaking down. And ultimately it will break down completely, right?
Yeah, everybody's going to break down.
Yes? So that means something is broken, yes?
With the body.
Yes. So we should try to fix that situation.
But mentally, nothing's broken.
Oh, mentally, people, they're in bad shape. They don't know who they are and they don't care.
I know who I am, and I
could
care about me.
Okay, fair enough. And we're glad of that. Can you tell us, though, who you are?
I can tell you my name, and I can tell you what I do, and keep telling you things about myself all night.
Well, if you tell me your name, that's like telling me the label on your clothes. And if you tell me what you do, how long will you do that? How long does that last? You're doing some things now, but you might change.
You're
right. So, and even your body itself is changing. Where's your baby body? It's gone. Your 10-year-old body is gone. Soon this body, you're about what, 21 now?
Yeah, you're 20.
So, it's going to go soon. So if you define yourself simply as the body, that is not very accurate at all. And if you define yourself simply based on what you're doing now, that will change also. When you're an old man, you won't be able to do so many of the things you're doing now. So therefore, the problem we find with everybody, is they don't know who they are. And this is society's fault. Society is giving no education. What is your real identity? everybody growing up in a real human society should be educated to answer this question. Am I matter, am I spirit, or am I something else, or what? Because you cannot understand your real happiness unless you know what you are. If you think you're the body, you'll simply try to be happy with the body. But the body's breaking down. That means your happiness efforts have quite a few problems. Whatever you want to call it at this point, the point is, if you think you're the body, your happiness is in bad shape. Because the body's breaking down, that means your happiness breaks down. Just like she's a nice lady. But she'll be an old lady if she lives that long.
Woman.
Lady, woman, yeah. So all the things that we think are us, they're changing and breaking down. That causes problems. Now a real society should teach you that. But we've all been deluded thinking that there's nothing broken, so why fix it? That's what materialistic society tells you. Nothing's broken, just go on working and shopping and playing and whatever. It'll all work out. Just go with the flow down the drain. Everyone's been bewildered like that. So therefore, once again, only two types of people can be happy in this world. The perfect transcendentalist, who knows what is matter, what is spirit, what is the source of everything, what is Krishna, and the complete fool who thinks everything is all right. Let the good times roll. It's like you're driving down the street in a car with flat tires and you're saying, let the good times roll. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Everyone's telling you, hey, your tire's flat. Have you ever done that? You're driving in your car and someone's driving next to you trying to alert you that you have a flat tire, and you can't figure out what they're talking about, because it's hard to gesture that you have a flat tire, you know, just... Has it ever happened to you? It's funny. And it's finally, you know, you tell them, just roll down your window, and they roll down the window, and you got a flat! Oh, thank you! So that's like us in this world. We think everything is all right, but Krishna and Bhagavad Gita is telling you you've got all four tires flat. And we have a hard time seeing that because we're attached to the body. We think it's us. We're misidentifying. So, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, this is my doubt, O Krishna. I ask you to dispel it completely. But for you, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt. Arjuna is wanting to take knowledge from the ultimate source of everything. That's the best place to get answers from. But when we don't know where to get answers from, we say things like, there are no clear and final answers. There are only discussions and thoughts and silent wonder filling each moment. This means...
It's very friendly one.
Yeah, someone's making. Yeah, someone makes money writing these kind of things, and foolish people buy them and think they're getting spiritual books. You've read a lot of books like that, right?
I know
all the signs. We never have to have the answers. Thinking you have to have the answers is the illusion, right? You just be, right? Whatever. You just be in love. That's why at the end of all the seminars and workshops, what do they always have? A group hug, right? That's the main part, right? You did, Isn't that the main part of all the attitudinal workshops and this and that? The group. If you don't have the group hug after the workshop, it's all a failure.
It's not actually, but it's nice.
Ah, yeah. So... simply to be content with ignorance is a very sad condition because we, in that way, deprive ourselves of real happiness. To understand what is real happiness, you've got to get beyond what is temporary. Therefore, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, I'm asking you for the answers because you're the source of everything. Eternal, temporary, matter, spirit. Everything emanates from you, therefore you know what's going on. So what happens to the unsuccessful transcendentalist, the unsuccessful yogi? Now Krishna is going to answer. He explains that you fall into two categories, the unsuccessful one. If after many years of yoga practice in transcendentalism you fail, and after a short time. So if you fail, after a short time, then you go to a very nice destination in the material universe for your next life, called the heavenly planets. And there you enjoy far beyond what a human being can enjoy on Earth. And after some time of having such a good time, you fall back down to Earth. Because Earth is the middle planetary system where you decide, shall you go higher or lower? And the human body is like a junction. You can go to a higher species or a lower species. This is popularly known as reincarnation. But Bhagavad Gita will tell you it's not guaranteed that you get a human body in your next life. You can go up or down. So, for the yogi who's failed after a short time, he goes to the heavenly planets, still material, not spiritual. It's like instead of living in North Korea, you go to Hawaii or Canterbury. And there you enjoy. And then, after all your good works are expended, you come back to Earth, but you're born in the family of rich people or a family that is dedicated to spiritual knowledge. Not in, you don't get an ordinary birth. So that you can continue your endeavors for self-realization, you're born in a family in which you don't have to worry about money, or you're born in a family that's very dedicated to cultivating metaphysical knowledge. That's for the yogi who fails after a short period of practice. This is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Now, if you're unsuccessful after a long period of practice, then you get a very special birth in your next life. You take birth in a family of transcendentalists. Higher than just people interested in metaphysical knowledge, you take birth in a family of pure Krishna conscious transcendentalists. And from your first moments after you're born, you're being trained to be a perfect yogi in Krishna consciousness. That is our goal here with our children. The children that you see running around here, many of them have the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness from their very birth. That means they're not ordinary entities. That means in their past life, they cultivated a long time of yoga practice, and they weren't quite successful to leave the material world. Therefore, they got the most rare birth in the material world in this life. They got a chance to take birth in a family of transcendentalists. It's like our Yashoda Dulal here. He's a married man. He has three children. Very nice children. So to take birth in such a family is a very special opportunity. It only happens if you performed a lot of transcendentalism as a career in a previous birth. So Krishna is giving you this information to show you there's no loss. Even if you fail, if you don't complete the course in this life, you get to start over from that point in your next life. You don't lose all your progress. You start where you left off. But what happens if you complete something materially in this life? If you finish your university, if you rise up through the ranks of your corporation, at the time of death, you lose it all. But if you just make a little bit of spiritual advancement in this life, even if you don't finish it, you don't finish the process, in your next life, you start off where you left off. You take the credits with you. But materially, you don't take any credits with you. So therefore, the conclusion is that in all cases, from all points of view, it's best to take up the career of being a transcendentalist, a yogi in Krishna consciousness. So thank you all for listening very attentively. If you'd like to discuss more, we can. Now what are we having? A drama with the children. You'll get to see some children in action. And you can judge for yourselves. Thank you all for listening. Hare Krishna.